Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily life is found recorded in the Old Testament book of Hosea, chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our newborn King, dear fellow redeemed, it's truly amazing how over and over again the prophets, each in their own way, were commanded by God to set before the people his unchanging word. Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, the minor prophets, the one who was between the Old and New Testament, John the Baptist, all commanded by God to first proclaim God's condemning power of his law, to lead the people to see their sinfulness, to lead them to repent of their sins and despair of themselves. And then to proclaim over and over again the good news of God's love in the coming Messiah and his deliverance through that same Savior. I'm sure there are times when you sometimes too weary of hearing the same old message of sin and condemnation. Weary of hearing from the pulpit over and over again that we're sinful, by nature lost and condemned, and that we don't deserve anything but God's eternal judgment and damnation and punishment. We weary of that because of our sinful nature, our sinful flesh. But God's condemning nature of his law needs to be proclaimed to us because we need to have it affect our heart. What is a Christian? A Christian is a repentant believer in Jesus Christ. One who on a daily basis realizes that we have not kept God's commandments, which he demands of us to keep perfectly in thought, word, and deed. Because of our sins, we deserve God's wrath and punishment. But then realizes that Jesus has come to wash us clean of all of our sins, earn for us what we could not earn, salvation, forgiveness, everlasting life. If we did not have the condemning judgment of God's law proclaimed to us, then we would quickly weary of hearing the gospel. Because we'd say, well, we don't need that stuff. We don't need God's love. Because I'm good enough by myself. It's the one who realizes the enormity of his sins who's the one who really appreciates the enormity of God's love in Christ. And so we see prophet after prophet after prophet proclaiming with their mouths the same message, law and gospel. The same message applied to every single facet of their lives and their relationship with their God. Social, political, emotional, intellectual, financial, spiritual relationships. The message was this, a twofold message, very simple. Acknowledge your sins. Confess your sins. Don't try to hide from them. Confess them and repent of them. Secondly, turn to the Lord God for help, deliverance, forgiveness, and salvation. Sometimes God not only used the prophets to say that with their mouths, and their lips, and their tongues, he actually told them to do that by their actions. The prophet Jeremiah was commanded not to marry, and not to have any children. Why? We read in Jeremiah 16, the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah, "You shall not take a wife Nor shall you have sons or daughters in this place. For thus says the Lord concerning the sons and daughters who are born in this place, and concerning their mothers who bore them, and their fathers who begot them in this land. They shall die gruesome deaths. They shall not be lamented, nor shall they be buried, but they shall be like refuse on the face of the earth. They shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their corpses shall be meat for the birds of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. By not marrying and having children, Jeremiah was showing to them that because they rejected the Lord God, refused to repent of their sins, followed after other gods, the parents and the children would all be destroyed. They'd be lost. Not just here on earth, but forever in hell. The prophet Hosea, whom we read from this morning, also was commanded by God not just to preach God's judgment and God's grace, but to also live it. He too is commanded, but he was commanded to marry. He was commanded to marry a prostitute. He did this. Faithful Hosea married an unfaithful woman named Gomer. And after he married her, they had a child, but shortly thereafter, she returned to her simple ways and gave her love to another man. And God commanded Hosea to go back to her, bring her back to him, lead her to repentance, forgive her, and take her back. And he did so. And this union produced 3 sons. God gave each of those sons a name that prophesied of the gloom and doom and destruction that would come upon the Israelites if they continued to follow after other gods, committing idolatry, which God calls spiritual adultery. Remember, God and his people Israel on Mount Sinai made a covenant to each other. They promised faithfulness to each other. The children of Israel said to Moses and to God, "All that the Lord has said, we will do." And so they said that they would worship no other God but Jehovah. They would love no other God but the Lord Almighty. They would listen to no other gods and follow no other God's commands but the Creator of the universe, the Jehovah God of Israel. But they didn't. Soon God said they went a-whoring after other gods. They gave their heart. They gave their lives to Baal, the golden calves, Astarte, and other gods and goddesses of the nations round about them. Yet the faithful God, just like Hosea, kept going to people trying to bring them back, lead them to repentance, and to forgive them. Not by saying he condoned what they're doing and saying, "Oh, that's okay," but condemning their idolatry, trying to lead them to see their sin, repent of their sin, and see in him the forgiving bridegroom. The same thing happened to Hosea. Time and again, he turned to Gomer, his unfaithful wife, called her to repentance, and forgave her. This is a symbol, a picture to the Israelites living during Hosea's day of what they were doing spiritually to their God. Throughout Hosea's book, the Lord lays upon this idolatrous people some pretty scary, scary destructions. Chapter 5 is filled with some explicit things that happened to them. Chapter 6 and 7 says, if you do not repent, you don't change your ways, you'll be utterly wiped off the face of this earth. But then we get to chapter 11, verse 1, our text. We don't see words of destruction and damnation and punishment and doom, but words of love and grace and mercy. We read again. God says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. When Israel was a child, the Lord's speaking about when he first called Abraham from Ur the Chaldees to be the father of many believers. When Israel was just but one man and a wife, an aged man and a wife with no children, moving from Ur to the land of Canaan, He says, when he was a child, I loved him. Way back when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the first beginnings of that Israel. When hardly anybody knew about them. God didn't just love his nation of Israel when they were powerful and mighty. He loved them from the beginning. The word there for child means from their infancy. He called them to be his people. And he loved them from the beginning. It was God's love that caused them to prosper, to grow. In the childhood years, the nation of Israel prospered in Canaan. And then, they were a favored people in the land of Goshen. Remember how Joseph invited them all to come to Goshen? And Joseph took care of them. But then, for the next 400 years, they were a persecuted people. They were enslaved. Pharaoh killed their baby boys to stop them from growing in population. They were beaten, whipped, made to work very hard. Many of them were killed. God's reminding the people of Hosea's day what took place 1,500 years earlier, how he loved his people, Israel. When you were a little child, a young nation, I loved you. And I called you out of Egypt. I brought you out of that slavery back to this nation. My son. And that term, my son, is also found in Exodus 4. When Moses bravely stands before the Almighty, not Almighty, but the mighty Pharaoh, and says to him, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. God loved his son, the children of Israel. He loved them as his own children. What a dear heavenly father he was to the Jewish nation. So, how does this one little verse in the Old Testament apply to Jesus? Or, even more importantly, how does it apply to you sitting there on the pews this morning? Remember, Scripture interprets Scripture. And so we need to look to another Scripture passage, and that's in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, where we read these words. This is right after the wise men left Mary and Joseph and the baby and returned home. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord to the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. The Lord used this prophecy in Hosea to speak back some 750 years before Hosea's day to talk about what he did with the children of Israel when they were literally slaves in Egypt. But he also used this prophecy to point ahead some 700 years to the future to Jesus. When Herod was so angry, the wise men had lied to him, said that they had seen the star and he wanted to kill all the babies in Bethlehem, and said, you flee. Joseph, take your stepson and Mary and flee to Egypt. And after Herod died, the Lord brought him back out of Egypt to Israel, restoring his son back to the promised land, where he would continue to be the Savior of the world and accomplish the redemption of all mankind. What a marvelous parallel picture we see. God's act of love seen in the distant past of Hosea's day to the children of Israel, his son, the nation, and the beautiful picture in the future from Hosea's day to his true son, the Savior, the Messiah, saving him from being killed and bringing him back to Israel for his calling. In 2 Peter, we read God saying that a day to him is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And so this prophecy to the Lord looks like it's happening at the same time, even though they're 1,500 years apart. Out of Israel I called my son, the nation of Israel. Out of Israel I called my son, Jesus. There's a third way we can look upon this prophecy here. We too, as believers in Christ, have been called sons. We've been called Israel, sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. We heard that at Christmas Eve service. And we too have been brought out of the slavery, spiritual slavery, of sin, death, Satan, and hell. And I don't know if any of you have ever been in Egypt. Anybody have been in Egypt physically? The land? We've all been spiritually in Egypt. Spiritually enslaved with our sinful thoughts, our sinful actions, our sinful words. We've all been ruled over by the spiritual Pharaoh, Satan, who rules over us many times by taking hold of our hearts and our thoughts. And yet God says, I have taken you, my son, out of Egypt. In the spiritual Egyptian captivity, we have all been set free. Called forth by the gospel, lovingly led by faith in Jesus Christ, out of that captivity, and we're still on our journey. It's not yet ended. We've gone through the wilderness of this world. We'll continue until the Lord takes us to the eternal promised land of heaven. As we're about to close out another old year, as we all realize and experience the rapid flight of time, what a comfort to know that as we are drawing ever closer and closer, day by day and week by week and month after month and year after year, closer and closer to that goal, to that everlasting, glorious home of heaven. As we look at the uncertainties of 2015 and beyond, we have the certainty of knowing that our Father in heaven loves each of us, calls us his sons, his daughters, has provided for us on a daily basis all that we need, forgives us of all of our sins, and assures us he'd be with us every step of the way through this next coming year and all the years of our life until we cross that heavenly Jordan into the promised land above. We've learned that from God's word. We learned it from our text. God shows his love for us again and again and again. We've seen that in the distant past. We've seen that in the present. And each of us will see that in the coming future. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.